Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the program. It is Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Richards, your host, live from Las Vegas. Your other host today on a Friday, live from Denver, James Salinas. James, how's it going?
It is Friday. Happy Friday afternoon to you, my friend. How's it going out there in Las Vegas?
Oh, it's going well. I have to tell you about my in-game betting a little bit later on in the show. I'm excited about that to start right there, but also excited about this. We thought it could be a rumor, but I think the rumor is no longer. Reports have it that OU and Texas has begun the formal process to leave the Big 12. And apply to the SEC. So big news right there coming out of college football, James.
I guess as far as big news, good news, depends on your perspective of where you're at. If you're Texas and Oklahoma, that's good news. If you're the other teams right now in the Big 12, what does that mean for you as a program, as a school, as a program, as well as a conference? What's going to happen to that conference? Those are the two big, at least in football it is, with the big names there. And how does this impact? I wonder also how that impacts college hoops too. But thinking about it from a football standpoint, I mean, it's just, to me, it's business. We talked about this yesterday. It is big business in college athletics, and we know it's amateur athletics, but that's really in name only for so many of these schools like this at Texas and Oklahoma and schools within the Southeastern Conference. I don't know. Are they going to have to change the name? Is Oklahoma considered in the Southeast? I don't know. Names aside, semantics aside,
right,
whatever you want to call it there, I think just it's just going to continue to stretch the haves and the have-nots when it comes to college athletics.
James, from a betting perspective, this season, does it affect how you view the Big 12? Like, I don't want to say or insinuate there's going to be more incentive to beat up on OU and Texas from other Big 12 schools. I mean, there's going to be enough incentive there right now. But beginning the process, there's a process here. They can't just immediately leave the Big 12 and go to the SEC. They're going to have to go through a process. So anticipating this year and approaching betting the Big 12, does this change in any way to you?
I don't think so. I think as far as the kids are concerned, kids are, just tell us who we're playing, we'll show up and we'll get after it. I think for the kids that have the ability to, we talked about capitalizing on your likeness and endorsements, however read the fine print of what that means for the student athletes to be able to indulge in that and take advantage of those opportunities. I think this accentuates that going to the SEC. You know, the brand is getting bigger there for Texas and Oklahoma. The brand is already big when it comes to the Southeastern Conference for football. So I think for those kids thinking going forward of currently who's on these teams, yeah, maybe there might be a little forward thinking for the opportunities that might exist out there, whether it's next year or how long. We'll see. Like you said, it's going to be a process. So until that there's a stamp on it and we have a determined date, we'll see what that looks like as far as maybe a potential distraction
right
for those kids on those current teams. But I think right now, as far as the other teams in the league, there was already enough incentive to beat those two teams because it's Texas and Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
You're always going to get up for those games.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Oklahoma, in terms of winning the Big 12 Conference Championship, they're minus 175. Texas is plus 900. So a gap right there. But certainly Texas, I think, leading the charge. It's a package deal with these two schools. You want that rivalry game, which, by the way, that Red River rivalry game is going to be extra juicy, I think, extra spicy this year, James. But OU, Texas, that package deal, that's a big brand that's going to emerge and show up in the SEC someday. But I think the impact could be felt immediately from a recruiting standpoint. So keeping an eye on that as we look ahead to what could become a super conference out there in college football.
Yeah, and from a recruiting standpoint, you tell me, Prish, you've been recruited. You were there back in the day. It was Big 8 back then, not Big 12. But if you're thinking about conferences, like how much is that your exposure? And now that you can capitalize on endorsements, those types of things potentially for the student athletes, your exposure being in a big conference, being on national TV every single game, like that's got to factor in as to where you're going to go as a recruit, where you want to go to play football, right?
Yeah, I went to the Big 8 to play for a national title, knowing that if we could beat or win the Big 8 championship, we'd go to the Orange Bowl, James, and play for a national championship. So I think it's the same in the SEC. If you go to the SEC, compete within the FCC, you win the SEC championship, you're going to compete for a championship. So I think from a recruiting standpoint, a recruiting angle, it's definitely going to help out OU and Texas. Now, will they be able to compete year in and year out in the SEC? They're going to have to compete for the same athletes right now, and I think that's why they're making the move right now. It's Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you today. James, big news out of Major League Baseball. Nelson Cruz is traded to the Rays, but the Rays, in a separate trade, traded Rich Hill to the Mets. So what's going on with the Rays here? They added a bat, which, look, they got a potent lineup to begin with. Glasnow, that injury. Now Rich Hill's traded to the Mets.
Thinking, well, let's talk about the latter there with Rich Hill. Now, he found the fountain of youth down there in Tampa, just like maybe he borrowed something from Tom Brady down there in Tampa to find the fountain of youth of how well he pitched to start the season, in particular in May for Rich Hill. His ERA was sitting under one in six starts, so a sensational May. But then when all the talk about the sticky stuff coming out and enforcement of those things, we've definitely seen a regression when it comes to Rich Hill, his spin rates, his duration on the mound. And now over his last eight starts, his ERA is close to five. He is not going deep into games. He's only went beyond five innings once in eight starts since all the talk about the tacky substances coming out. So I think for the Rays, they pretty much got everything they could have gotten out of Rich Hill. And think about the other side for the Mets, hurting. They're hurting right now. Big question mark, huge question mark, obviously, about Jacob DeGrom, his forearm. He's had some other ailments with his arm this season so far, and other pitchers that they've got on the shelf. Peterson's still on the shelf. I think they were hoping maybe Syndergaard could come back from his Tommy John surgery, give them a shot, give the pitching staff a shot in the arm. But Noah Syndergaard, he had some elbow issues going, had some soreness in his elbow in some of his rehab stints back in May. So they shut everything down. Don't know if we'll see Thor out there or not. So, yeah, for the Mets, really thin at the pitching department right now. And then for the Rays, you add the bat like Nelson Cruz. And Nelson Cruz, now you're going to see it whether I think with Cash, he likes to move his lineup around. I think this will give him some stability in the middle of the order, whether he's going to bat cleanup or hit in the three hole. We'll see how that plays out. But for Cash to have some stability, because that was the one thing, you know, they've talked about the Rays and Kevin Cash's approach to managing games, and it's very analytical, and it's the new age of baseball, whether it's the way that they have their batting order stationed and guys moving all up and down the order. And I think guys would like to be in a place where they know I'm hitting in this certain spot in the order consistently. And then on the pitching side too, I mean, with the openers and everything that they do, I think the Rays making moves, and that was a big move to get a big bat like Nelson Cruz, and kind of tells you on the other side for the Twins that all expectations are lost from what was happening with Minnesota in their division in the American League.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I mean, I think Tampa Bay, you're going to have power all throughout that entire lineup, really, now with Cruz, whether he's going to be a designated hitter, since he's searching, he's going to be that. But in terms of hitting four in that lineup, too, Rosarena drops down to, what, six? So you get power in the back end of that lineup as well.
I've seen a Rosarena lead off. I mean, that's the kind of thing. It's. I think as a hitter, every slot in the order, it used to be anyway, Pritch, that each slot in the order kind of had a certain responsibility as your, far as your approach at the plate. And whether you're working counts or trying to get on base and set the table. Now with Rosarena, I did see him. He led off a number of games. I think this helps not only bring a big power bat to the middle of that order, but then have some protection. Maybe a Rosarena hits third, or maybe he hits fifth. We'll see. But just having that power bat, a veteran bat there. And, you know, he led the Twins, did Nelson Cruz, in home runs and RBI. So, yeah, the Twins throwing in the towel for this season and a huge get right now in a division right there in the American League East that is a total coin toss at this point.
Yeah. So you just mentioned to Tampa Bay, we know they're a very analytical team. Does this imply, because they're bolstering their lineup, that they're looking more for offense as opposed to bolstering the defense in terms of pitching rotation, the Glasnow situation, Snell, they lose him, but yet they probably feel pretty good about their prospects. I'm assuming that, certainly the bullpen as well, but adding more offensive firepower, I think is Tampa Bay telling us this is the way to go in the second half of the season?
think just giving them that stability with a consistency, at, let's just call it at the four hole, if that's where he's going to sit in the cleanup spot is Nelson Cruz, and stabilize that lineup. And yeah, anytime you have that bat, not only beforehand, but afterwards too, he's somebody that is going to really give for the opposing pitchers. Mm-hmm. You get Nelson Cruz in the middle of that order with the other power bats that they have there. And we know it's feast or famine for the Rays, who lead Major League Baseball in strikeouts. There's no shame there. They don't care. It's all about the three-run home run. You get a piece like Nelson Cruz in that lineup, and thinking about the rest of the pitching within the American League East, as far as the starters are concerned, I mean, is there anybody that scares you out there with whether the Yankees? The Yankees, another implosion last night out of their bullpen. As far as the starters go, it's Gerrit Cole and a cast of characters from there. Toronto's really struggling with their starting rotation. And then Boston, I think we're going to continue to start to see some regression from their starters, unless Chris Sale can actually come in once he gets healthy, maybe next month, and give them a shot in the arm. It's a wide open race when it comes to the arms race in the American League East.
All right, let's get to the National Football League, because players are showing up for training camp. Saints receiver Michael Thomas expected to miss the start of the season after ankle surgery in June. James, you got a new quarterback out there with the Saints, and now their star receiver looking to miss the start of the season as well.
Not only with Thomas gone out, we know Breeze has moved on. Mm-hmm. So quarterback position, how is that going to play out with Peyton going with Winston? Is he going to get the bulk of the snaps and throwing the football? Taysom Hill, we know we're going to see Taysom Hill coming in as well. Now you don't have Thomas out there. You also don't have Emmanuel Sanders that was there last year. Got a lot of targets. Jared Cook is gone from the tight end position too. At least they get a good offensive line, because right now it's Kamara and a bunch of, I mean, you look at the remainder of receivers, really, they're very green. It's mm-hmm. very green from experience offensively. Man, talk about regression. We figured there was going to be regression coming out of there, and Breeze was definitely not the Drew Breeze of years past. We saw that last year throughout the season, especially in the playoffs. But man, offensively now, this is going to have to be a team that is going to have to redesign itself and its identity up front. Good offensive line for sure. Kamara, now what does that mean for Alvin Kamara? I mean, these teams are going to be able to come up and stack. You don't have the threat to stretch the field or stretch the field deep, stretch the field wide. Tough sledding right now for Alvin Kamara, too, as far as the running back is concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. Their win total is looking at 9. So my experience as a player, James, it's hard to replace a legendary quarterback. Hall of Famer, franchise quarterback. Your experience is a better. I mean, do you look for those situations? Again, the win total for the Saints is 9. It's been hard to replace Elway, hard to replace Aikman, hard to replace Steve Young before. And I mean, it's just these legendary quarterbacks like Drew Brees. It's going to take some time, I think, for the Saints to find that next great quarterback.
They got to find their great quarterback. Also find what is their offensive identity going to be now. It's completely different than what it was before. We know with Breeze, they could stretch the field, all these variety of formations. He could make the calls at the line of scrimmage. That veteran presence, understanding what he's seeing from a defensive perspective and being able to make his right checks and make the right reads. Now you're starting all over. And yeah, I think from an identity standpoint, this is where, Pritch, for me, you talked about it as a better and mm-hmm. as a bit better in particular for the NFL. For the first month of the season, I typically am either staying away or I'm going against teams that had either transition at the coaching staff and or transition with number of with maybe it's at the quarterback, like we're talking about here for sure. Now you've got injuries to a whole new set of wide receivers that we're going to see for the New Orleans Saints. And what is their identity going to be? That remains in question. I mean, it's going to have to be a more fit. They got a good offensive line, like we talked about, and going to definitely have to feature Alvin Kamara and lean on Kamara's skill set. Not only running the ball, but catching the ball to the backfield. But teams are going to know that, too. So those are the kind of things that it's going to take a while, like you said, for this for the Saints in particular to have to adjust and recreate and really refresh it and make mm-hmm. a new identity offensively. And until they figure those things out, that's usually when there's the opportunity to start firing against them until they get it dialed in.
Yeah, maybe an opportunity to look for some other surprise teams within that division too, depending on what happens after training camp and preseason. Two AFC North quarterbacks are feeling confident, James Linus, going into camp. Baker Mayfield, we know he's confident. And now Big Ben Roethlisberger, putting high expectations on their teams heading into 2021. How about this, James? So would you rather have, or rather back, I guess, from a betting standpoint, Baker Mayfield or Big Ben Roethlisberger?
But I think we're backing the team. So it's not just the individual player, unless we're looking to get into their player props and whether it's the passing yardage or the
touchdowns. Yeah, we got passing yards totals here. Yep.
So I think from that perspective here, I already liked Cleveland and where they sat. And I think for Baker Mayfield, you talked about him feeling confident. He should feel confident. That team has an identity. Number one, they've got a terrific offensive line. I think it's the best run-blocking offensive line in the league. And that has changed the identity. We saw the identity completely change. All that dysfunction behind the Cleveland Browns from a couple years ago. And now Baker Mayfield being in this system now where it's not all on his shoulders. He's not sitting back in the shotgun having to throw the ball 40 to 50 times per game, and it's all on you, young fella, to have to go win football games for us. Right now, it's make the right plays. You don't have to win the football games for us. We've got plenty of other players around you, namely starting at the offensive line for the Cleveland Browns, and the power football that we're going to see as far as the Browns running attack really going to open up the passing game for Baker Mayfield, make things so much easier for him to read. He's got a strong arm, we know that, and has some targets, and we'll see how OBJ comes back. So if I'm looking at it, one side or the other, I like the situation that Baker Mayfield is in much better than the situation that Ben Roethlisberger is in. Talk about his offensive line. It's the complete opposite of what the Cleveland Browns have, Bridge. This is a brand new offensive line, very green, very young offensive line, and a lot of experience, a lot of veteran leadership gone from that Pittsburgh offensive line. So Big Ben, yeah, he's coming in shape. I don't know where's that been the last few years. Decides to come in shape now. Maybe inspired by what he's seen from Tom Brady in his 40s, being able to get himself right and look tremendous out there. But yeah, if you're asking me which one do I like better right now as far as the current situation offensively, Mayfield versus Roethlisberger, it's no comparison. Give me Baker Mayfield's spot.
Yeah, I mentioned Baker. He's going to be confident anyway. I mean, that's who Baker is as a person, highly confident in his abilities. You're going to get Odell Beckham Jr. back as well. Yes, you're going to be more confident with your abilities in a contract situation too. Now, Big Ben, he says this, James, my arm feels really, really good. So two reallys right there from Big Ben in terms of his health and his arm. So looking at his passing yards total, again, 3,900.5. I'm taking a second look at Big Ben. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think early on people were kind of writing the Pittsburgh Steelers off in Big Ben as he took that salary reduction. But I think he's rejuvenated, at least mentally anyway.
I think for me, Pritch, the what really talks is scoreboard. He can say all these things. He's really, really confident, and he really feels really, really good. Well, I really, really don't care. I need to see you really, really do it on the field before I start to fire money on it. And scoreboard talks for me, Pritch, as far as a better is concerned. Mm-hmm. And I can't get past what we saw last year, not only with Big Ben, and we know he had that elbow surgery a year removed from that, but also he's a year older now. His team's definitely regressed. When it comes to the offensive side of the football up front, identity was completely different last year, and they had to restructure the offense. They got off to a great start for sure. A lot of that was really predicated on the defense, but the offensively, we saw them scale things back, and because he didn't have the ability to the vertical passing game just wasn't there for Big Ben and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and there was no sense of a running game. It was all short passes to kind of mask the fact that they couldn't run the football, and I don't see how that changes. We think about the offensive line, and for me, whether it's looking for the Pittsburgh Steelers for the full season and or just matching up game to game. I mean, the offensive line is where I always start. Offensive line versus defensive line, and I take it from there. I start up front and I move backwards as far as identifying matchups for any particular game. And I think for the Steelers long term, I just can't get past the fact that this offensive line, it's going to take time. I don't think three preseason games and some OTAs are going to get it fixed. They have to see it out there on the field, and then in the division that they're going to play, this is not, aside from the Bengals, that, you know, there's a few rivalries. There's not a lot of rivalries left in the NFL, Pritch. And most of them exist in the AFC North, so not only that, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to have to contend with teams that like to get after it and get after them. I just think it's going to take, if they do gel, it's going to take some time, and that is a big if. So for me, I still, just because of what Big Ben says, has no, it doesn't have any impact on how I think the Steelers are going to perform this year. They got to show me on the field first before I start to back them.
I hear you, because they really, really fell off last year at the back end of the season. I mean, yep. Juju's back. James Washington as a receiver is promising. And then you add Najee Harris as a young player, too, but the problems still exist with the offensive line, like you mentioned. The most important part being stout in the trenches on both sides of the ball, really. You look at the defense for Pittsburgh, too. Overcoming injuries is a priority as well.
It is, especially at the linebacker position. We'll see when Bush can come back, and we know Bud Dupree is gone. He's in Tennessee. I'm not sure when he'll actually see the field either. You're talking about surgeries, major surgeries during the season last year. Up front, love what the Steelers have on their defensive line up front. You think about Tua and Hayward. I mean, just complete beast in the interior. So the defense, that's got to be the identity of this team again. Defensively, especially up front, being able to stop the run, put consistent pressure on the quarterback, which they will be able to do. You got Watt coming off that edge. Love the defensive side, at least on the front seven, per se. It's going to keep them competitive. It'll keep the Pittsburgh Steelers in plenty of games, and they're going to need it, because I think just offensively, it's going to take the Steelers. I don't know if the Steelers find their identity this season. I think it's going to take time, and it may take them a full 17 games. They may have to look ahead to building off of what they did in 2021, more so to build off of, roll that into 2022, because I just can't see that happening in 2021 for this Pittsburgh Steelers offense.
Yeah, tough division, too. I mean, it's a contract extension for Lamar Jackson. You're talking about, what, $35, $40 million right there. Certainly Baker wants to do that as well, but high expectations for those two franchises. I think the Steelers might be questioning themselves, but just taking the microscope out in terms of looking a little deeper or try to find out some other angles there for the Steelers. James, coming up on the program, we're going to get to the AFC South rushing totals. Derrick Henry is the featured back in that division. We'll go over that coming up next. Football season is right around the corner, so it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the app, stop by any MGM casino on the strip, have that state-issued ID, open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love the technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21. Physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you today. So, James, AFC South rushing totals. Derrick Henry, rushing yards, 15, 25 and a half. Rushing touchdowns, 13 and a half right there. For a featured back, I think he's a featured back. Julio Jones should help clear out that box for Derrick Henry as well this year.
Not only clear out the box, think about the division he plays in. He gets to face Jacksonville and the Texans twice each. There's four games right there. If you look at what he did, just think about that Texans game, because they wanted to get that 2,000 yards last year in the final game. He got 250 on 34 carries. The game back in October, he had 212 rushing yards against Houston. He also had a game over 200 yards against Jacksonville. You got four games against those. Make mine the over. We didn't even break this down. Forget about the rest of the schedule. You get four of those teams right there. He might get it just in those four games alone, obviously, and just Rich, but man, I guess the only thing to think about here, I mean, I'm not going to get in front of it and say he's not going to get there. The guy's durable. He runs like a rock and tremendous player, but Is there going to be a change maybe in a little offensive identity now that Arthur Smith isn't there for Tennessee? That would be my only pause for concern. You talked about Jones and now even more running lanes because teams are going to have to be conscious of the passing attack that I think we're going to see out of Tennessee, and it's a terrific offensive line as well. But any pause for concern as far as Henry for you just with the change over at the offensive coordinator position? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not only the change over, but the fact that he's going into year six. Typically, James, we see running backs kind of hit that wall right around year six like this. And in particular for Henry, back-to-back seasons, 303 rushing attempts 2 years ago. Last year, 378 rushing attempts. Now you got 17 games scheduled, too. So just a word of caution there. You know, not only the changeover from a coordinator standpoint, but Derrick Henry going into year six and a lot of wear and tear on that body right now. How about Jonathan Taylor, 1275 and a half? That seems elevated there with the Colts, 12 and a half rushing touchdowns as well.
I agree. I think thinking about the and another good offensive line, we'll see when Fisher actually gets to play left tackle for the Colts. But aside from the left tackle position, it's a crowded backfield there in Indianapolis. Marlon Mack will return. He got hurt in week one against Jacksonville, tore his Achilles, and gave Taylor an opportunity to get out there. But it wasn't just Taylor that got carries last year. Now, Taylor really came on in the second half of the season. I think there was issues with him early on, just not being patient enough to read blocks, and I think coached him up. He learned this is not Wisconsin where you just get to road grade over everybody. You are going to have to. It's a different level when you're playing NFL run defenses, but it is a crowded backfield there. We saw Hines and Wilkins get involved in the running game as well for the Colts, but with Mack, not that all four guys are going to see lots of carries, but there will be different designs, especially for Hines coming in as kind of a change of pace back. I can't see Taylor getting there, plus the fact that now you have Carson Wentz. I don't know. Is this going to tell Frank Reich, hey, we actually get to throw the football? It's been a few years. It's been a few years now, and you actually have somebody that, notwithstanding the year that Carson Wentz had last year in Philadelphia was a disaster, but being reunited with Wentz and feeling like, hey, we actually can throw the football with some consistency down the stretch, because this is not Rivers and other quarterbacks over the last couple years once Andrew Luck retired.
Right, and then Trevor Lawrence is on this list, 325 and a half rushing yards. I mean, with shoulder surgery on the left shoulder, 3.5 rushing touchdowns. I could see him going over that, but I don't know how much Trevor Lawrence is going to run this year for Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think we'll see. I mean, how many times, though, is the play going to break down? He's going to be forced to just make something out of nothing. Is he going to revert back to some of his instincts? I mean, he's a big fella, right? He's 6'6", and he can create, he can break tackles. He also is athletic enough to make people miss. So potentially here, I think maybe that's where I look. But you look at James Robinson and Travis Etienne both sitting there at 6'50". Mm-hmm. I would think it's going to be under for Robinson and over for Travis Etienne, if anything. You don't draft Travis Etienne in the first round to let him sit behind an undrafted rookie free agent. Great story last year. Really, the only bright spot for the Jaguars was James Robinson last year, but we got ETN in the first round for a reason, and it's to get out there and play.
Yeah, I like his game, ETN. He reminds me of a number of backs. Low center of gravity, great balance to catch a ball out of the backfield. I think he can make an immediate impact there for Jacksonville. Coming up on the program, James, Mike Pirionio from the Race and Sportsbook Director at Mandalay Bay. We got potential forfeitures in the National Football League because of this memo. We got to get information on that. It's coming up next. The VSiN football betting guides are coming soon, and there is no better way to prepare for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Each guide is only $20, and discounts are available when you buy both. Now is the time to reserve your copy or sign up for VSiN All Access and get everything we offer for the entire football season. Sign up now at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you as host. Happy to bring on to the program right now Mike Pirionio, Race and Sportsbook Director at Mandalay Bay. Mike, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. And it's good to be on.
It's great to have you. And thank you for your time, because this NFL memo is making waves everywhere, including in the wagering world, of course, the sports betting. So, I mean, I don't know if you guys have the answer to this, but how would you handle forfeited games at Mandalay Bay?
Yeah, it's pretty fluid right now. And, you know, I guess it's fluid with the NFL, too. And I'm pretty sure the Players Association and some of the players, this probably isn't over yet. You're exactly right, though. It's something that we're in process of making sure we're doing the right thing. And you know, the house rules are they're pretty specific. We've been doing this for a while. And, you know, our house rules, most of them, especially the most concern is on the season total wins for most people. So there are some player props out there, like total yards at some states that we offer BetMGM. But it's mostly the season wins everyone's worried about. And those do say teams must play all regular season games to have action. Now, there's no definition of play, but former football players like know that play means actually playing the game. Mm-hmm. So I could see us, you know, we've done some things with like John Rahm in the golf where we went ahead and refunded or paid some stuff out. And this could be one of those cases where, you know, and to be honest with you, I don't know if you guys are hearing the same thing, but I think there's probably not much chance that there are forfeited games. I think with practice squads and enough stuff like that, they should be able to. This might be a lot of hubbub about something that might not happen, but, you know, with COVID, you can't ever say that.
Mike, this is James Salinas out in Denver, Colorado, and I think that's the thing. Now that sports betting is legal in so many states across the country, I think you've got to know the fine print. As a bettor, we've got to know if we're talking about a forfeit, does that mean it's a win and it's a notch in the win column for said particular team, but does that mean my ticket is valid? So I think we got to read the fine print as bettors, know what we're getting into before we make these bets. But thinking about last year through the pandemic and some of the crazy scheduling changes that we saw the NFL making, where we had games on Wednesday. We had games basically every day of the week, almost, it seemed like, last year because of scheduling changes. As a bettor and as a sports book, more so for you, Mike, on your end, are there any lessons that you can take away from last year when it came to games being rescheduled? If you were scheduled to play on a Sunday and all of a sudden they're going to play on a Tuesday, is there anything that you can take from last year's experience and apply this year to make it known to bettors as to here's how this is process potentially could work if there are games that are rescheduled as opposed to just forfeited?
Yeah, it's you know what, and you're right about that, James. There's no football season, especially NFL. There's nowhere for them to go. They're rescheduled. And James knows, or Mike knows, you're not going to play two football games in 10 days. That's not going to happen. That's a disaster. And unless you have the same bye week, you know, that could happen. They do dump those byes in certain weeks more than others. But unless you have the same bye week, I don't see how you're going to reschedule these games. And it's not just football that's going to be affected. I know we're gearing up for that, but we have season win totals on NBA, and it's going to be interesting. Although the NBA rules, they say must complete all 82 scheduled games, which is a little different than completing the games, seems a little more specific. I think you're going to see, and be honest with you, we may pull these off and stop wagering on it this weekend until we get a handle on what this is and maybe make our house rules and apply them more specifically just so people don't bet without knowing exactly. But looking at the rules in a general way, it says teams must play all regular season games to have action. Play to me means they're actually physically playing a game. It's not a forfeit. But that's yet to be determined. This is all very fluid.
We're speaking with Mike Piranio, race and sportsbook director at the Mandalay Bay. So, Mike, not only the impact of the NFL memo, some waves from college football, too, in terms of what the conferences would do in terms of a particular outbreak with their teams, too. Are you seeing any developments there with college football?
Yeah, not yet. Okay. But I think they're trying to see what the pros are doing. But, you know, this is two different things. I mean, college players are kind of getting paid now with the endorsement stuff, but this is totally different with college football, although they probably have more ability to reschedule games than the NFL does. That's mm-hmm. one good thing for the college. But and there's other rules that apply in here, too. That's why I think you're going to need a few days here to get it all sorted out. Because, like in hoops, if the game's moved, there's no action if it's moved. So if it moves out of state because of a COVID outbreak or something like that, there's a lot of extra stuff that could happen that would impact these bets besides what's going on right now in on everyone's mind.
So thinking, Mike, about college football and season one totals in particular, with 12 games on the schedule, I've seen, at least out here in Colorado, some books that are just, it's not about the full duration of the schedule of the 12 games. It may just be conference games. So if you have 8 conference games, that's what the season win totals take. How are you guys working on season win totals? Do you have any varieties when it comes to potentially a full season and or just within conference for season win totals in college football?
So here's the interesting thing about that is that since we don't have a national sports book betting right now, every state has different rules, and a lot of them are restricted by the gaming control boards in those areas, and you can see completely different rules in different states, and that's all going to have to be addressed. That's why this whole thing is going to take days, week, maybe to figure out and get everything on there. Like I said before, I think we're probably going to have to pull some of these futures and just so people aren't betting without knowing exactly what's going on. Or they're just going to say our house rules are sufficient. And all the bettors know the legal sports books are going to do this the right way. You've seen us already. They paid on John Rahm, even though he didn't win. So we have lots of opportunities to help guests and players out. Even if they don't know for sure.
You said it's a fluid situation, and that is true, 100% true. Mike Piranio, race and sportsbook director at Mandalay Bay. Mike, thanks again for your time. That was awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Great information right there about the sports book world, sports wagering world, with all this information floating around. Dan Leach, 97, the one, the ticket in Detroit, is going to join the program. We got to get on this Detroit Tigers situation, James. 7 in a row for the Tigers. We get Dan Leach on the program. Come up next. Everybody, turn a $1 wager on the Yankees or Red Sox into $100 with BetMGM. If either team hits a home run, just use bonus code VSIN100 when you sign up with the King of Sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com for more details, and make sure to use promo code VSIN100. It's a new customer offer, paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21. Located in Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Washington, D.C., Virginia, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan. Dissociated persons, please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700. In Colorado, Nevada, Washington, D.C., and Virginia, 800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 800-BETS-OFF in Iowa and Tennessee. Call or text the red line, 800-889-9789. In Indiana, it's 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the show, Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you today. Dan Leach is with us right now, too. 97 won the ticket in Detroit. Dan, how are you?
Fantastic. Another beautiful day here in Detroit Rock City.
Yeah, let's go. Let's get after this, because Detroit Tigers, I'm saying this, Detroit Tigers, the hottest team in Major League Baseball, 7 games in a row. Now, they're below 500, but as a bettor, I'm getting interested in the Detroit Tigers. Should I stay interested in the Detroit Tigers?
It's crazy, and I've adopted the term hinch by hinch here for our great manager, A.J. Hinch. It's one of these things, Prince, where, you know, did we expect the Tigers to be a contender this year? Of course not. do we see in this city that the future could be bright with the Matt Mannings and the youngsters, and obviously Spencer Torkelson is lighting up torque bombs in Double A. Yeah, the future is bright, but do I expect to see the Tigers in July become the hottest team in baseball? And yeah, they're not beating the behemoths of Major League Baseball right now, but they're playing well. Miguel Cabrera's getting triples. I mean, guys that are coming out of the woodwork and pitching well. So it's something to be interested in. See, I'm nervous about tonight. You got Peralta who's starting a spot there. Got a lot of guys that are injured. Turnbull and some others in the rotation. And the Royals are a small favorite. The Royals are not a good team. And obviously the Tigers coming on this 7-game win streak. Tonight scares me, but I feel like the Tigers win the series. It's just, is the trust level something where a bettor wants to put a lot of money on them right now? I don't think so, but they can win you money because their lines are always really juicy. A lot of times they're getting positive money, especially against better teams. So it's something to start looking at, but I don't know if they're going to keep this thing going. If they get to 12, 13, 14 wins in a row, I'll take my shirt off and dance in the street for you.
Well, Dan, this is James Salinas out here in Denver. I'll take you up on that. I'm looking forward to seeing that because if you look at the Tigers' schedule right now, you think about the teams that they are able to beat up on Texas, and everybody's going to beat up on Texas for the second half of the season. Right. Minnesota's obviously throwing in the towel, trading off Nelson Cruz. They got swept over there over the weekend. But their next 10 games, all against teams under 500, they're going to be a fire sale. They get to play the Twins again, 3 games against Kansas City, 4 games against Baltimore. Where do you think they might stand? Because I think we'll see you. We're talking about some of the young talent. Talk about some of the young talent, especially on the arms for the Tigers that are not only on that roster now, but that we might see when we start to get closer to, you know, the dog days of August and September when we start seeing September call-ups.
Yeah, and listen, you know, you have, I mentioned a guy like Matt Manning, and we know what Casey Mize can do. Obviously, he's been in the main rotation for a while now. But it's one of these things, you mentioned the Twins. The Tigers have owned the Twins. They had a huge, series sweep a couple weeks ago. They really had played good against bad teams, and not terrible against good teams, but they, you mentioned, obviously, with the Royals coming up in this series, and the Rangers as well. It's one of these things where the Tigers are good enough right now, even with kind of this rebuild in the process under Al Avila and the new manager AJ Hinch, where you've got some of these youngsters and you've got the Tarek Skubals, who's one of those guys, and you've got, you know, guys that are getting spot starts coming up from Double A and Triple A, and that goes along with, you know, I mentioned, you know, coming up the pipe when you look at what they have with guys like Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson. I don't think we're going to see, Torque this year. He's in Double A right now in Erie, but I think he just hit his 14th home run. We call him Torque Bombs here in Detroit. So there is this just great feeling of, you know, the future. Rebuilds are tough. I mean, the Cubs had to do it. The Royals did it. They won a World Series. We know what the Astros did before the cheating and the trash cans. And we feel pretty good about some of these young kids and the guys that are up there. And, you know, look at a guy like Robbie Grossman, who's had some huge hits for the Tigers this year. And guys like, Isaac Paredes and Akil, he's a bad new man. A lot of just really good feel for guys, whether it's pitchers or hitters, that can, you know, complement this team and give them a good chance to do something good.
Yeah, Detroit, plus $1.02 in their game against Kansas City, 10.5 that total on the schedule in Major League Baseball. Let's get to the National Football League, Dan, because I think the NFC North could be a mess. I mean, the Green Bay Packers, who knows what's going to happen up there, right? Minnesota, the Vikings, I guess they could be improved. But then you got the Lions with the new quarterback. Their win total is sitting at 5. What's going to happen with the Lions this year, in your opinion, Dan?
Oh, 5 might be generous. Listen, I'm all about biting kneecaps. I love Dan Campbell. I love the new general manager, Brad Sherlock Holmes. He's done incredible things. And I was a big Matthew Stafford guy, but you had to move on from him. And you bring in Jared Goff, who went to a Super Bowl a few years ago. He's 26 years old. You're right, though. The NFC North is a mess. I think Aaron Rodgers ultimately will play in Green Bay. But Chicago, they got Justin Fields. They've got, you know, the potential to maybe open up their offense, but I don't really trust that team right now. Minnesota, it seems like they're on the downslope with what they've been doing the last couple of years, when they're supposed to be obviously really solid defensively, but have had holes. And the Lions, though, even though there's, you know, players like DeAndre Swift, and you draft Penei Sewell, who's going to be a future guy, and Levi, the DT that was a second round pick for the Lions, there's guys that are going to plug and play that are rookies, but it could be a total mess. Dan Campbell's never coached before. You know, there's no Matthew Stafford. Stafford, that reliable quarterback for years. So I think five could be generous. This is the thing. With 17 games, the Lions could win seven or eight. It's possible. But the thing could be a total mess. You could see them in a lot of games late and then lose a bunch and win three or four games the whole season. But I think that the division's a mess, so it gives the Lions a chance to maybe win a game or two against a Green Bay or a Minnesota or Chicago that maybe if it wasn't in that situation, they would have. So, five is kind of where it should be, but I'm normally like too high on the Lions. This year, I think I might take the under.
And Mike, you look at their schedule. I don't think the schedule makers did the Lions any favors. They're going to get, well, maybe they, if you look at it from this perspective, they're going to get all their division road games out of the way in the first five weeks, but they're going to open up with San Francisco. You're going to have Baltimore at home. Then you're having road games against the Rams, the Steelers, the Broncos, the Browns. That's a brutal schedule. I can't find five wins on there, unfortunately, for your Detroit Lions. But talk to me about the coaching staff. You talked about no more Matthew Stafford. That's been the identity of the offense there in Detroit for such a long time. Now Goff coming over. I like the offensive line unit for the Lions, but I'm struggling to find other places on that team as far as the roster is concerned that give me some optimism, at least from a change on the for the players. But what about the coaching staff coming in now? You talked about Campbell not having the experience as far as the head coach, but you do have veteran coaches coming over with him at least on the coordinator positions. I'm wondering, what do you in particular see, especially on the offense there with Anthony Lynn running the show now for the Lions? What do you think the identity is going to be for this Detroit offense?
Listen, you hit the nail on the head. And listen, I wanted to believe in Matt Patricia. That could not have gone any worse. So one of the best things is Matt Patricia is no longer in Detroit. And that, with all due respect, I mean, we know NFL coaching is a tough thing, but things could not have gone worse with Matt Patricia here in Detroit. But you look at Dan Campbell. I know he's a first-time coach, but you mentioned the key right there, Anthony Lynn. And when you look at what the Lions have, and obviously no more Matt Stafford, but a lot of good young talent. I love the upside of DeAndre Swift, the running back, and Cephas, the wide receiver. I mean, there's pieces that, you know, down the road could be a lot better because they're under a guy like Anthony Lynn. Look who he brings in as a quarterbacks coach. Mark Brunell, played in the league forever. Offensive line coach, former longtime player All-Pro, Hank Fraley. I mean, you got Deuce Staley, the assistant head coach, and the running backs coach. So I think the offensive side of the ball where the Lions, even with Stafford, he would give them a chance, but they always would fail. Bad third down percentages, lots of turnovers in key situations, interceptions. You're bringing in guys, and I forgot to even mention Antoine Randall, the longtime wide receiver, who's the wide receivers coach. So you're bringing in guys with a ton of, you know, career experience, maybe not as much aside from Anthony Lynn, NFL coaching experience. And Anthony Lynn was a head coach and, you know, probably should have gone to the playoffs a couple years ago if their kicker didn't miss the first two weeks of the field goals. So you look at that, and then on the defensive side, you got Aaron Glenn, who I think has been a long time coming. Eventually will be an NFL head coach. Dom Capers is coming back to be here. I know he's a lot older, but he's still very talented. So you've got such great minds. It's kind of like what Juwan Howard, if you give another Detroit example, Juwan Howard, the Michigan coach, did by bringing in Phil Martelli, knowing that he was a first-time head coach, but bringing in guys that give you the experience that can help lift you up and be that kind of, you know, conglomerate together and give you the best chance. So I think the coaching staff is going to really turn out a lot of these younger players and some of these draft picks and guys the Lions will sign in the next couple of years and give them a real chance to go from, you know, a team that's not very good to starting to gain momentum over the next couple of years. That's what we're really excited about here in Detroit.
We're speaking with Dan Leach, 97.1, the Ticket in Detroit. I got to ask you, Dan, the Pistons with the number one overall pick, is there any way they do not select Cade Cunningham?
Well, Cade Cunningham just came to a Tigers game, and they were chanting his name for like 2 hours. And listen, I know there's the rumor about the Houston, Eric Gordon, you know, the two first-round pick deal, which is possible. It's not – Cade Cunningham isn't LeBron James, but Cade Cunningham is ridiculous. And I think there's really no chance unless you get some absurd, beyond absurd offer that under what, you know, I call him Troy Dreeweaver, the new GM, has done and what Dwayne Casey can do as a coach, that you don't select Cade Cunningham to go along with guys like Isaiah Stewart and Sadiq Bey and some of the great draft picks the Pistons have made over the last couple of years with the new regime here. So I'd be shocked if they didn't take Cade Cunningham. Listen, Jalen Green is a great player. Evan Mobley from USC, we saw what he did in the tournament, great player. And same with Suggs from Gonzaga. But I just would be stunned. We all would be stunned if they don't take Cade Cunningham. CC to Detroit.
I tell you what, we're fired up about the Detroit sports. Dan, fired up about you being on the show as well. Follow him on Twitter at DanLeach971. Dan, have a great weekend.
You as well. My pleasure, guys.
Absolutely. That was incredible. Great job right there, Dan Leach. When we continue to program hour number two, we're going to get into the National Football League with Pro Football Focus. Steve Palazzo will join the program coming up in hour number two.